Merkel Media.
That kid, that's the kid who came to pick me up.
Oh, right? Boy.
So, yeah, I'm like, oh, here we go. This should be interesting. So he gets down and he picks me up. We get everything loaded. And he's like, do we have to, like, run any more stops? Are you done? Or can we go back to the plant? I said, no, I got, like, two or three more we got to run. So we're talking. This kid's, like, brain dead. And I was like, of all people to send, you send this kid. So right. I'm like, what is that smell? I'm like, dude, your truck reeks. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, did you, like, have a real bad pickup today or what? He's like, I don't know what you, what do you smell? I said, well, it smells like urine. He's like, oh, yeah, that's me. I just pee in the floor in the back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, we're going Hodge, and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I am Brian Merkel.
And I am Brian Shipper.
And we're here with Hammer Lane Legends. We're going to be talking to Kirk in a few minutes. But before that, we're going to get into these into the business end of stuff. We're going to, you know, tell you where to go for to contact us and that kind of stuff. If you have a story that you would like to share with us, it doesn't have to be one story. It's a conversation. That's what you're going to find as you listen to the show. These are conversations with people who drive, people who are in the industry, people who are, you know, drive for Uber, people who drive for a living, people who drive for FedEx or UPS or, you know, tractor trailers, whatever. You know, we talk to people, and we love just getting their stories out there because they are the industry. And if you want to contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the Hammer Lane Legends website. That's hammerlanelegends.com. And hit the contact section, and you can get a hold of us that way as well. Just leave us a message, and Jackson will get back to you. Jackson, the producer, he'll take care of you know, setting things up to get a hold of you. Hey, Brian, tell us about the voicemail.
Short story, if you have one, you know, quick hitter. Call up the voicemail line, 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Leave a good 5-10 minute short story. You got anything longer than that, you just need to get a hold of Jack, get on the show, and we'll be glad to talk with you. And, you know, stack up these voicemails so that we can do a voicemail show. So, either way.
There you go. That's it. Either way. Either way works for us. And while we're talking about things, and while we're kind of, you know, kind of looking at life going on around us and things we're seeing going on around us, you know, being prepared for tomorrow is only, you can only be prepared for tomorrow if you prepare for it today. And so, with that being said, you know, if you find yourself in need, if you're looking around and you think, maybe I should get something ready just in case, you know, the other shoe drops, go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. They have everything you might need, everything you think you might need, and everything you do need. And when it comes to being prepared for whatever happens in the economy, in your life, in your own personal life, you know, they've got everything you could think of, everything you can imagine. They've got preparedness food that will last you 25 years on the shelf. And if, hey, you don't ever need it, you know, you can have in 24 years or 24 and a half years, you can have yourself a big old party and use all that food and invite all your friends over and share it with them. But just in case you need it, it's good to have it. Don't wait till tomorrow for a problem that is starting tomorrow. That is I think that is good advice. That is something that we need to address. And any preparedness needs you have, they've got it. And Ship, tell them about Buy Me a Coffee.
Yeah, buy a Brian coffee because that's what he runs on, gallons at a time. So you can do that. Use the virtual tip jar at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. And that'll keep them fueled up for at least another hour and a half, 2 hours.
That's right. Just keep us caffeinated. Well, anyway, today we're talking with Kirk. Kirk, how are you doing?
Good, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing all right. Chip, how are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing just fine. Fan-damn-tastic, as they say.
Living the dream, as it were. Yeah, we're doing all right. So, you know, it's interesting to get a chance to sit and talk with people, and just taking a look at the things that you have and things that you've done, Kirk, it's going to be an interesting conversation. So we're going to, you know, why don't we start with, how did you get involved in the trucking? It's kind of a question that I like to ask. It's kind of a question that runs through my mind because I know what drove me into the trucking industry. What is it that brought you to the trucking industry?
So I came from the beer industry, and I was a bar manager, and then I was in beer sales for a while. And I was in a little van driving around Eastern PA every day, and I really liked being on the road. But after a while, the beer industry and the alcohol industry it wears on you. And I was like, you know, some things happened. I lost the job. And I was like, you know, I really enjoyed driving. So I think maybe I'm going to go back and find something on the road. So that you have so much freedom to yourself and the listening freedom to listen to whatever you want all day. I don't know how many books on tape and stuff I've listened to, you know, being on the road.
Sure.
But coming from the bar industry, I had a lot of relationships with my vendors, and so I started applying with those guys, and I ended up getting into the linen business and delivering laundry.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, God couldn't have put it together better. It's turned out to be probably the best job I ever had.
That's nice. Awesome. Yeah, that is awesome. That's good to hear. It really is, because a lot of times, you know, when you're talking to somebody in the driving industry, no matter what aspect of it is, you know, it feels sometimes like all we do is whine about it and complain about it. I've done my own fair share of it. So it's good to hear sometimes that there is positive out there, that it actually has worked out. And it you know, and if we're all honest, it's, you know, we're all in this industry, you know, not because, you know, necessarily that we have to be, but this is kind of where life has led us to. You know, we're here, and sometimes you just make the best of it.
Yeah, for sure. I think most of the people I talk to who drive for a living, they enjoy it. We gripe a lot about knuckleheads on the road and whatnot, but I think for the most part, everybody in the industry enjoys it.
Yes, I think that is true. I realize that there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of people who are coming into the industry and at the same time going out of the industry. You know, there's a revolving door, as it were. But I think, you know, the people that hang around actually do, in some way or another, enjoy doing what they do. You know, when you drive, when you're out and among people, when you're out in traffic, when you're out just doing your job day in and day out, can you imagine yourself working in a warehouse where you're in the same place every day, all day, you're doing the same, you know, this is kind of one of those jobs where it's, you're kind of independent, you're taking care of things, you're doing what you need to do. At the same time, you have a certain amount of independence for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not micromanaged, nobody breathing down your back or worrying about a supervisor over your shoulder, watching what you're doing. It's just, they trust you to go out, run your route, do what you need to do, get the job done, go home. And it's not, man, my one buddy, he works in an office, and he's like, I'm so jealous. He said, because I would love to get out and just see the world on a daily basis.
Right. Right.
It's nice.
Yeah,
and
it is.
The way I say it is, you know, I became a born again Christian 2 years ago. And since then, the way I look at it is, I'm being paid to study the Bible, because all I do is listen to King James audiobook on repeat.
There you go. It's not a bad thing, dude. Not a bad thing at all. That's a good thing to do. I know when I have some time in the truck that I'm not talking to somebody like Chip, you know, I'm listening to things like that myself. So it's not a bad thing. That's good. It, you know, it is. It's amazing to me, because sometimes when we look at truck drivers or people who do this, you know, who drive for a living, we look at them as being some of, you know, society sometimes I think looks down on them like they're some of the dumbest people that, and yeah, that's what you got stuck doing.
Yeah.
No, actually, you've got time to listen to all kinds of things and educate yourself on all kinds of things and learn a whole bunch of things that I think sometimes, you know, some of the smartest people out there, you know, in the blue collar industry, and that's, this is not to diminish anybody else, but it's just we have time to listen. We have time to listen to books on tape.
Yep.
Or through your phone, I guess it's not books on tape anymore, but you know what I'm saying? Audiobooks and everything else. And you're getting educated. You know, you're getting educated on all kinds of things, yep. You know? So I agree with you. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, you pick the topic, you could learn it.
Yes, exactly.
There's, with the internet, you can find endless content on any topic or any subject you want.
That is the truth. That is the truth.
Yep.
Right, and besides that, your office view out your office window there always changes.
Yes, it does.
That's right.
Not many people can say that.
A lot of crazy stuff.
Yes, you do. It is amazing the stuff you see. You know, that's why I think it's so funny sometimes to me when I'm talking to people and they're like, well, you know, I don't know what I would say if I came on the show or this. That's like, just, you know what? You sit in a break room and you talk about these things at the end of your day. I know I've been a truck driver for long enough to know that that's what truck drivers do. They come back to the terminal and they're sitting around shooting the breeze and they're talking about how their day was and the crazy things that they saw and the places they had to squeeze into and the things that they were doing. And it's like the conversation takes care of itself. You just start talking and you get people talking about these things and they see, you know, yeah, you know what? You're right. There's a ton of things that I've seen and I've done. And to me, that's one of the most interesting things is just getting an opportunity to sit and talk to people because you get a picture into their life. You get kind of an open curtain view into their life for a few minutes. And it's like, this is what it's like to be me. And that's what I like about this show is it gives us an opportunity to shine the light on the people who are the industry. The industry is what it is. And I've said this a million times and I will always say this and I'll constantly come back to this. The industry is what it is, but the people who make the industry run are the people who do the work. And that's the industry. That is the industry. It's the people. It's the stories. It's the things that they're doing day in and day out, you know? That's what makes this industry.
Yeah, you get to.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was finishing up.
Yeah, and you get the. We're all part of the driving industry, but how many industries are within the driving industry that people, you know, you don't know anything about? Like, I'm in the linen industry. You guys, you know, do LTL, or there's the beer industry, or the, you know, the food delivery guys. Like, we all drive, but everybody's each industry has its own, you know, set of stuff within the driving industry, you know, so you get to learn all that from everybody else. It's cool.
Exactly. And that's what I find just fascinating. It's just fascinating. So all that being said, I mean, we've talked with you before and we're just going to kind of pick up on that conversation where we were at. And so we were looking at the email that we have from you, and there is like a ton of things on here to actually talk about.
It's like
about.
A resume.
It is. It's really, it is awesome. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to let you just kind of pick up and just kind of take us wherever you want to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll take Tony's line or the way he laid it out last time and have the paranormal stuff at the end to make everybody stay.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds good.
to anybody who hasn't heard my previous episode, Delivering the Freshness, I work for a linen company. We deliver laundry, uniforms, linen, medical supplier for hospitals, and all sorts of stuff. My job description isn't, you know, to drive. It's technically a route service representative where I'm the face of the company to our customer, and I'm responsible for their linen inventories, so on and so forth. But the majority of my time on the job is in the truck, and it's driving. So
sure.
We'll get that out of the way to anybody who doesn't know. But, I have the list broken down into paranormal, driving, and the miscellaneous and weird occurrences. And a lot of these are like small weird things and crazy things you see at like one of my stops or something.
Sure.
So they're not like 20-minute long stories. Some of them are good stories, but I'm trying to think. And I will say, I don't have any more poop stories.
Fantastic.
We've exhausted those in the first episode, so I'm due. So
that's awesome.
All right, well,
clean, I guess.
There you go. That's it.
Well, pick one of your topics, and we'll take it for a test drive.
Yeah,
see what we come up with.
Yeah, all right. I guess we'll start with some of the driving ones.
Okay.
The majority of my time is spent out in State College, 3 days out of the week, and then the other two I'm up in Williamsport. So a lot of my windshield time is coming back and going to State College on Interstate 80.
Mm-hmm.
So this one day, and I know everybody says, like, Swift guys are insane. They shouldn't be on the road, but it couldn't be more true.
So this is verification.
I'm driving back from State College, and there's a U.S. Express guy, and he's riding the rumble strip on the shoulder for probably a good 30 minutes straight. Every time I try to pass him, he cuts over into the middle, and I'm like racking my brain to try and get around this guy.
Right.
So I finally get past him. He's got his face buried in his cell phone, holding it right in front of his face, like maybe 6 inches away from his face. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man. Like, come on. So I get past him.
There's a whole new meaning to FaceTime.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah. Seriously, like, I don't know if the guy had, like, real bad eyesight or something, but he was in. He was involved. So I get around him, and now there's a Swift truck, right? Now, this is right around the Jersey Shore exit. There's a town called Jersey Shore in PA.
Right.
Yep.
And you're coming on 80, it's a sharp, almost 90-degree turn, and it's banked. So he's in the right lane, and I get in the left to pass him. He starts coming over into my lane, right? Like, he's going to run me off the road.
Wow.
So we come up around the turn. Well, there's a state police officer right there on the cutoff watching for speeders or whatever. Well, this guy's running me off the road onto the shoulder. I almost hit the statey, and I get past the guy's driver window. He's got his foot up on his dashboard with his cell phone in his face, like two in a row. And I don't know if the cop was doing the same thing with his face buried in the cell phone, but he didn't even notice.
Wow. Get out.
It was insane. I thought, oh, praise the Lord, there's a cop here. He's going to,
arrest
this guy or pull him over or something. Nope. Even though I was on the shoulder on the rumble strip on the left side of the road, and I almost T-boned him. The stadium. Wow. He didn't even notice.
Maybe it was nap time or whatever.
Yes,
I have nothing.
Man, I'm like, what is going on today on the road? Like, it was just insane.
The funny thing is that, how many times have we seen that kind of stuff? Yeah. We see people all over the road.
You pull up on somebody and you see them drifting side to side. You're almost guaranteed they're watching a video.
Yep.
Or like you said. Yeah. The face is buried in their phone, and you just try to plan to get around him before something goes wrong.
Yeah, because and that's really what you want to do is just get past them.
Right, exactly.
Because you don't want to be around when it all turns left, Yes. It's crazy.
I mean, both of them, the U.S. Express guy, like, it's almost like it was intentional, but every time you try to get around him, he'd cut you off into the other lane. I'm like, dude, you just rode the right shoulder for 30 miles.
Right. Right. It's like, are you using the rumble strip so you know you're still on the road so you can just pay attention to your phone? Using that as your guide?
Exactly.
I don't get it sometimes. I just don't. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the analog version of lane assist, I guess.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That's it.
Lane departure for dummies.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you guys talk on the show all the time about seeing drivers with their foot up on the dash.
Yeah.
Thinking, I've never seen that day, man. And sure enough, it was a Swift driver, and he's got his foot up, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yes.
Welcome to the club.
Yep, it's amazing. Some people, they treat it like it's their, their lazy boy.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in this seat, and they're just kind of all slouched back, feet up on the dash. It's like, how in the world are you driving this thing, dude? I mean, if anything happens, we're all in a world of hurt. That's why I don't want to be around those guys. You want to get past it.
Yep, absolutely. And it's like, I don't know if these guys think, like, they're indestructible because they're in a giant truck and they're not going to get hurt if, you know, they get in an accident. Well, it's not just about you either, man. There's other people on the road.
Exactly. That is exactly it. There's a ton of other people around you. Drive like it. You know, that's how I see it. That is crazy.
There was a, I don't know if who posted it, but I saw somebody posted the quarterly report for damage costs for Swift, like the first 3 months of the year, and it was like $400 million.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, who in the right mind would insure this company?
Exactly.
Well, that there lies the reason that a lot of these trucking companies are self-insured.
Yes.
Yes.
You know?
They have to be.
And that, what was that number? Four what? 4 million?
400 million, yeah. In damages. Holy
God. Are you making any money making your deliveries? You know, it's like, what in the world is going on?
How do you stay in business? Be insured. I thought, I'm like, there's no way that's accurate. Like, that. It can't be, but I don't know.
Right, because that would sink any other company. I mean, you cannot do that for quarter sure. after quarter. You know, that's just that's the nature of the business. So how they do it, yeah. It's amazing to me. Unless they've got, go ahead.
You can rack up a lot of damage real easy, and you know, in a dollar amount. But
oh yeah,
how do you afford it?
Exactly. Unless they've got an Elon Musk in their back pocket. I don't know how they do it. So, you know, yeah. That is crazy. That is just crazy.
I mean, it could have been fake news for all we know. But, I mean, it's Swift and we all know how they drive. So it's probably accurate.
We've all seen it. Exactly. Feet up on the dash all over the road. And it's a shame because I'm sure that Swift has some decent drivers, I would assume. You know, they've got to have somebody there who's a decent driver. But for what you know, and of course, always all the crazy stuff makes the news and makes the, you know, right. The videos on YouTube and everything else. But they do have a lot of it.
I'm sure when they go out with their driver trainer is not having his foot up on that. This is the way you drive when you're going down
right.
an interstate. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing with Swift, though. I don't know, Brian, if it was you or Tony, but somebody on the show was talking about this girl posted on her Facebook. Who works for Swift. She was promoted to be a trainer and she was only there like 3 months or something.
Yeah, I remember talking about that. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like,
so, I mean,
yep, go ahead.
You get what you pay for, I guess.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you know, that is indicative of the revolving door that is the trucking industry. When the person with three, you know, less than 6 months experience becomes your driver trainer, there's a huge revolving door somewhere. So that's just.
Yeah, I mean, how do you teach someone? Like, somebody's going to have questions. Like, oh, sorry, I've only been here 8 weeks myself, so I guess we'll figure it out together. Yeah. Right.
We'll circle back to that.
Yes, sir. This is, oh, my word. And it's so crazy
to
when you
that
think.
Up in the manual when we get back to the terminal.
Right. Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, man.
Let me plug that into my Google machine, see what we come up with.
Yeah, right? Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's a scary thought. It really is.
Yes, it is.
And that's only one truck going down the road.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It makes you wonder how many trainers they have like that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. God help us.
Oh, my word. You got that right. Because, man, damage is... you know, this funny thing is, like you were saying it. You wonder if some of these guys have this idea that they're invincible because they're sitting in, you know, up 8 feet in the air and they're, you know, they have this big, huge truck around you. But you know what? That just means there's a lot more damage that can happen to you and to the people around you. That's why it's so imperative to be paying attention and not be watching videos and, you know, typing on your phone or doing whatever. It's like, dude, stuff can go sideways really fast. And that's the thing that I think so many people just don't get in the industry. No matter what driving you do, no matter what kind of driving it is that you're doing, you're spending time on the road, the propensity for something to happen is always there. And it seems like the longer you do it, the more the propensity builds until it happens. You know, it's just the craziness that happens. You know, it's just what happens on the road. But the problem is what happens on the road doesn't always stay on the road.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It gets transferred to people around you, so... you know.
I think everybody should listen to that episode you guys did early on in the show, that guy who was in an accident and killed somebody.
Yes.
And he was telling everybody how he wasn't on his phone, but they confiscated his devices, and they ran to see timestamps to see if he was on the road and using his phone. Like, they tore his life apart.
Yes.
Right? Like, he wasn't found guilty, but they treated him like he was. And, like, if you once pick up your phone while you're on the road and you ever get in an accident and kill somebody, they will find out if you were ever on your phone while you were driving.
Yes. And that is a scary. It's so weird nowadays. It's such a propensity for that to happen. And the DOT doesn't care, and the cops don't care, and the lawyers are definitely going to look for the deepest pockets to be picking.
The lawyers care.
Yes, they do.
That's why they're the first ones requisiting their phone records and everything.
Yes, sir. You know it. That's why I don't get these guys watching videos.
You're a truck driver, you're automatically guilty, and you're the target in the accident.
Yes, because you've got the deep pockets. That's it. That is the way it is. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. So, where do you want to go next?
So, we'll go down to why was everyone flashing me. So,
sounds cool.
Same route, coming back from, they call it, this is driver error on my part.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm driving back, and every truck behind me, they're flashing me. They get next to me and they're like throwing their arms up in the air. Like, what? And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm in my lane. I didn't cut anybody off. I'm,
right.
You know, like, what's going on? And it was like for an hour straight, everybody's flashing me. Well, this guy comes up in a semi. And he's passing me in the left lane. And he's flying. And he comes up. He gets next to me, door to door, and he slows down so we're going the same speed. And he's like pointing at me, like pointing his finger, like, you son of a, you know, like, and I put my arms up and I shrug. I'm like, what? Like, what? He's like, roll your window down. So I roll it down. He,
yeah, because that helps doing 65 miles an hour.
Yeah, right? I'm thinking, oh, man. And he goes, I get the window down and he points behind me and he says, your roll up door's up. Like, oh no. So I'm like, oh, this ain't good. I'm going 70 miles an hour on 80. And apparently for the entire way back from State College with my back door up.
Wow.
It was insane. Yeah. I can't go any further. I got to pull over now. So I pull over now and I'm like, it was wide open. And sure enough, if that load bar would have popped, I'd be in jail.
Wow, yeah, I can imagine. Holy cow.
Well, at least you had the load secured.
There you go.
Seriously.
Oh, my word.
It scared the crap out of me because I thought, like, I could have killed everybody. Like, I got all this dirty laundry in 6-foot hampers that are on wheels that would just roll right out the back.
Yes, sir. You talk about airing your dirty laundry.
Right, airing out your dirty laundry. And if you're driving down the highway and the laundry basket passes you, it's like, what? That looks familiar.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, oh, that is crazy.
And I don't know if there was, I mean, I know at one point I did have a problem with my roll up door and they had to replace it, but I don't know if that was the issue or if I just forgot to latch it.
Right.
I don't
know. And you know, that's one of the funny things is that you know, it's one of those things that you do time in and time out, you know, and you don't even think about it after a while. It just becomes part of what you do. And then, you know, like, yep. I know I've done it a thousand times. I get in my truck and I start driving and I'm like, did I crank my landing gear up? You know, and I'm like trying to find a turn that I can kind of, so I can look out the window and see, is it up? You know,
right.
Because, you know, if it wasn't, it'd be scraping. But at the same time, it's like it just runs through your head. These stupid little things that, you know, are so easy to forget to do.
Well, at that point, then you just call that anti-rollover device.
Oh, man.
I've had a similar situation where the guy, it was a straight truck driver, and he literally came on from the truck stop, you know, got on the highway from the truck stop. And as soon as his truck leaned, you know, all of a sudden, a big... liquid you saw. Well, short end of the story was he never put the fuel caps back on his fuel tanks.
Wow.
And,
oh man,
you know, we drove, it was a good 10 miles before he finally, you know, I caught up to him and actually, you know, did the same gesture, you know, pointing at him right. and moving over, you know. And then, you know, it was like a switch got turned on. You know, all of a sudden, you know, he literally stopped immediately and got out. And his foot had to get, you know, saturated with diesel fuel.
Right.
You know, and then he realized what went on because, you know, I never saw him after that. But, yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, $5 a gallon in fuel, you're doing this?
Yeah, you just lost five.
I don't understand. I just fueled up. I shouldn't be able to go 400 miles.
Yes.
That's just one of those things that you do every day, and it's a repetitive thing, and sometimes it just
absolutely flips
you. Yeah, exactly, because you just assume you did it. You know, I mean, I've had the latch on a door break. And have to, you know, you're driving down the road and somebody's trying to motion you like that. And you pull over and you're like, okay, what's going on? You know, so you walk back and you see your door open. So you're like, holy crap. You climb up, you grab the door, pull it down, you go to latch it, and the little catch on the bottom is missing. And you're like, well, that explains that, you know? Now you're trying to find something to tie the stinking thing down with. And, you know, you're taking your belt off. You're getting the straps out of the truck. You're doing whatever, you know?
Right.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Oh.
We tell everybody, always keep extra ratchet straps in your truck.
Yes, sir. Yes,
always.
Sir. Bungee straps and ratchet straps. Yes, I've got both. Because I'm not getting caught like that again.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, since then, I've probably a couple times a week. As soon as I leave, I'm driving, I'm thinking, man, did I shut that door? And I pull over and I run in the back and I make sure. I'm like, okay, I did. But ever since then, I've been paranoid.
Yeah, I don't. Exactly. That's what it does to you. You know, and you know, I think that's what makes a good driver is that you do become, you know, somewhat paranoid because you realize I can forget these things. I can forget to do this. And so it brings it to your mind. Hey, you know, no matter how long you've been doing this, there are certain things you do need to check.
Right.
You know, just keep it in front of your mind. Yeah. You know, so it is what it is, but poop happens. Thankfully, like you said, nothing came flying out the back because that could have been messy.
Yeah, and I mean, those load bars, I mean, they're secure, but if you hit a bump hard enough, you'll pop your load bar.
Yes.
I've done it.
Yes, that is the truth.
It's game over then.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So what else have you seen? What else has been going on?
So, This was on my last route. I was in a little step van and coming down Route 11 through Bloomsburg.
Mm-hmm.
And all these air codes thrown on the dash, shut engine off immediately, stop warning, every bell and whistle, ding, 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 smoke's coming out of the hood. I'm like, oh, man. And I wasn't done with my route yet. I think I only had like two or three stops. So I pull over and I call my boss and we call Penske and we get that all arranged, come get it towed and put my triangles out, and we had to wait for one of our other drivers to get done with his route so he could come meet me so we could pull all of the dirty laundry and whatever was clean left that still had to be delivered and put it on his truck because Penske was coming to tow it. So he shows up, and this kid, Brian, you remember the last episode where I was telling you about the kid who he had a customer drop his pants and take a crap right on our rug in front of the bathroom because he couldn't make it in?
Yes.
And the kid, he put the rug at the bottom of his dirty bin and then piled everything else on top of it.
Right.
That's the kid who came to pick me up.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
So, yeah, I'm like, oh, here we go. This should be interesting. So he gets down and he picks me up. We get everything loaded. And he's like, do we have to, like, run any more stops? Are you done? Or can we go back to the plant? I said, no, I got, like, two or three more we got to run. So we're talking. This kid's, like, brain dead. And I was like, of all people to send, you send this kid. So I'm like, what is that smell? I'm like, dude, your truck reeks. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, did you, like, have a real bad pickup today or what? He's like, I don't know what do you smell? I said, well, it smells like urine. He's like, oh, yeah, that's me. I just pee in the floor in the back.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, you pee in your truck? I'm like, dude, you're running a retail route. You're in like 40 stops a day. You can't pee in one of them? Oh, no, I'd pull over all the time and just go in the back and just pee on the floor. He's like, there's a little hole in the back corner. It'll run down. And this kid, he lived in the house directly next to the plant. So what he would do the next morning before everybody got in, he'd get a bucket of hot water and run in his truck and dump it on the floor and clean out his pee.
Wow. Oh, my word. Some people.
Like I said, needless to say, this kid doesn't work for us anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you say to that one, huh, Chip? It's like, whoa, dude, that's some nasty stuff. That is some.
Yeah.
Good luck finding a job, dude. That's.
Yeah, seriously. Like the whole. Wow. And I get it. Like, we drive a laundry truck. Your truck stinks.
Right.
But urine has a distinct smell.
Yes, it does.
Oh, man, people are just disgusting.
It's amazing what people think is okay and normal, isn't it? Yeah, like when you think about that.
You guys have had on who the mechanics find all the feces and urine underneath the undercarriage of the truck all over the chassis because these guys are drilling holes in their floor.
Yes. it is.
Come on.
Yep. I sometimes you hear some of these stories and you're like, this is how truck drivers get the name they get, you know? This is why people think of us like that, because this is what some of you guys are doing. It's like, don't do that. Your truck isn't your outhouse. What the heck? Yep. I mean, you're using this for business.
You're driving it. You got to walk back there. Like all of our clean laundry is back there. I mean, granted, it's on bins and shelves and we have rails that the uniforms hang, but still, man, like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
is it really?
You gotta
not work. One of them falls down?
Yeah.
5 second rule.
Yeah. Oh my word. That's horrible. Well, thankfully he's moved on, It's like, holy cow, dude. Like,
he moved. Well, it's funny, after that he got a job at one of the pot plants. And I don't know what he was doing there, but he didn't last long there either. And now I guess he moved to Arizona. So they could have him out west.
Right.
A lot more wide open spaces, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you said he's working at one of the pot plants, I'm like, yeah, that stands to reason.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay. That makes sense.
Kicked them loose.
Yeah. Boy, you've really got to be hitting the bottom of the barrel if you get kicked out of that. Wow.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my word.
Oh. So like two or three weeks ago, yeah, Outstate College, it was in the morning. I sent the pictures to Tony. I saw, me and my buddies are always looking up at all the chemtrails they're poisoning us with the airplanes. And we're like, oh, look at this one. And sending pictures like, look at this one. Well, I'm in State College and I look up and I see this, what looks like a chemtrail, but it's squiggly, right? It's like, it's got a ripple to it. I'm like, that's not from an airplane. And I get down the road a little more over the tree line. It's a rocket. And I'm like, was that like a space rocket or is that like a missile rocket? What is it? But the closer I got, this trail was orange, ripply, and it was a rocket. And I don't know where it came from. And I sent it to Tony and I said, does this look like an airplane to you? He goes, yeah, that looks a little squiggly to be an airplane. So I don't know if somebody was testing a rocket, and I don't think there's any military bases out there, but the last thing I would expect to see in the sky around here is a rocket.
Yeah, exactly. That is crazy.
Or that's some guy flying a plane and, you know, put it on autopilot so he could pee down so could the
pee
corner.
Out the hole.
Hey, you're the shipper, you might be on.
There you go.
Maybe that guy's not in Arizona. He's flying planes.
He's
now.
A pilot now. Lord help us. Holy cow, that's hilarious. That's crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
it's cool.
It's amazing the things you see when you're out. I mean, when you're out and about, and these are things, you know, because we're out and about, you get to see some of this stuff, you know. If you were sitting in an office somewhere, you'd have missed it. So that's cool.
All right, we'll pick it up a little here. This is a good one. So this was the guy who used to run the route I'm on now. He's no longer with us either. But him and our supervisor were at this stop. Now, the stop's a restaurant, real high-class, fancy restaurant. They get a bunch of linen tablecloths and napkins. They're an expensive stop. So to get into their, to make the delivery, you have to back into an alley that's very tight, and their restaurant's on the one side and a garage is on the other. Mm-hmm. Well, they have some of their personal vehicles parked on the edges. So you have maybe 3 inches each side from hitting a car. So you got to be precise. So they get back, they back it in, and the owner has, I think it was like a Mercedes SL something, but it was $100,000 car. These people are loaded. Well, the driver, the route guy, he goes in the stop talking to the customer. The supervisor says, I'll get the bin off the truck. Go ahead, I'll meet you in there. Well, he gets out, he drops the lift gate. Now, for our stops, we have small bins, medium bins, and large bins. The larges are about 6 feet. The mediums, maybe 4.5, 5. And the smalls are just, you know, a little 3 feet tall. Well, these guys had a medium-sized bin, almost 5 foot, and it's chock full with clean linen. So this one probably weighs close to 1,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. He gets it on the lift gate. Starts, I don't know what, why he stopped lowering it or what. He got distracted with something. And by the time he turned around, that bin was in the windshield of the Mercedes.
Wow.
Yeah. Oops. It fell right off, went right through their windshield, and totally destroyed the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chip's just sitting there shaking his head like, what do you say?
Yeah.
Special landing. Well, and
I probably shouldn't say this, just, but I'm gonna anyway. The supervisor told the route driver, you have to take the fall for this, because if I did it, I lose my job.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pass the buck. It will hurt you less than it will hurt me.
Rip the Band-Aid off quickly.
Yeah. And you know, he didn't get in any trouble for it. It was, you know, it was an accident. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. But we have an automatic termination policy for any damage over $10,000.
Uh-huh.
So he was just under that.
Wow.
$99.99.
Yeah. The customer, they told the driver, they said, look, we have security footage of what happened if you ever need that.
Yep. Wow.
So that guy now picks his runs, right?
Right? Yeah. And every time I'm at, because I run that route now, every time I'm at that stop in that alley, I'm like, all right, I got to make sure my lift gate is past or before a car.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I've had bins roll off the lift gate, like just like the last episode I had with the hamper falling off at the nursing home.
Right.
Like it happens. Something happens, they roll off, or if the bin's too heavy for you to stabilize it when you're going up or down, you don't stop it, you let it go.
Yeah, exactly, because you can pick it up a lot easier, you know, just re-throw the stuff back in it. Yes, I get that.
Not only that, you know, that bin's going off there, and you stay hanging onto that bin, you're going off too.
You're going with it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You do not want one of those bins coming down on top of you. Yes. 1,000 pounds of laundry.
Oh, that is the truth. Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Just because it's laundry doesn't mean it's going to be a soft landing.
You got that right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the same kid, he was, we installed this new stop, another restaurant, and they got a bunch of stuff, you know, towels, aprons, uniforms, linen tablecloths, whatever. They had it all. And they were a couple $100 a week stop. Well, we only were with them maybe 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. They didn't pay their bill from the beginning. So my boss tells the driver, pull the stop. We're done. Go and get all of our stuff out. I don't care what he says. We're done. Pull it. Get all of our stuff out of there today. So, and this kid, this was like I think the first month he was by himself. So he was fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into the stop, and the beer guys were there before him, and they're in the office arguing with the owner because he owes them money also.
Wow.
And the beer driver's telling him, he said, look, you either pay me or I'm taking the kegs and they're coming with me. So the guy's freaking out, cursing, screaming. The beer guy takes his kegs and leaves. He said, I'm not dealing with this. You're not getting your delivery. So our driver's standing there in like the doorway of the office watching this transpire. And he's like, oh man, now I have to tell this guy I need his stuff too, because he hasn't paid us. He's like real nervous. So he gets in and the guy goes, well, now what do you want? He said, I have to pull the stop. He said, get the F out of here. And he like throws something. So the kid, the driver, goes like, all right, well, I'm just going to start pulling the account. Well, it was in the middle of the day and the restaurant was open.
Uh-huh.
People were in there eating, and this kid, he's like, well, boss told me I have to get everything, so I guess I have to get everything. He starts walking through the dining room, ripping tablecloths off of people's dinner tables and ripping napkins out of their hands. People are like, what are you doing? He said, sorry, the boss said to pull it.
But the question is that I have, when he pulled the linen off the table, did all the dishware and everything stay there?
Or did it hit the floor? Was it like a magic trick?
Yes.
Dude, like, you know, you could have like went back another day and like got it when there was no people there. He said, well, yeah, I know that now. He said, but I was new and he told me to, we got to pull it.
So you told me to pull it. I pulled it.
I need your napkin.
Yes. Finish wiping.
Oh my word.
I couldn't imagine being in a restaurant eating and the laundry guy comes up and says, sorry folks, I need your table.
Right. Oh my word. That is a dining experience I don't want to have.
Yeah. Imagine being the customer there. I just ordered a beer. Now we can't get beer. Now we can't get napkins. I'm out of here.
Keep your beer. I'm going.
Well, the guy, his business didn't stay open much longer after that. He had to close the doors.
Yeah.
He probably didn't have the capital to begin with to do it, but.
That's what it sounds like. Yes. Happened. Yes, it is. Yeah. Unfortunately. Yep.
Living week to week.
So I had my last route. I was delivering to an adolescent drug rehab facility. Now, this place was out in the middle of nowhere, back in the back of like Shikshini, Huntington Creek area.
Mm-hmm.
It's back in the woods. You got no cell service. And they have like 10 different buildings. You got to change all the rugs in all these buildings. They get all the linen for the rooms, and it's a big stop. Well, the guy who taught me the route just showed me like a rough idea of where things are. He only ran it a couple times. So he was just saying, you know, here's where it is. We'll find everything, but then you're on your own. I said, all right, whatever. So I got an overall idea of where all the buildings were, where I had to go, what I had to do. So I'm like, One week we had a sales contest. This was during COVID. We had an abundance of hand sanitizer and we had a contest to, you know, just see who like can sell more, sell the most. You get like a little gift card or something. So I'm pitching this hand sanitizer to everybody. Cause I'm like, yeah, I'm getting all that extra commission. I'm doing it. So I get to this place and I tell the guy, he's like, oh, well, is it foaming? Is it the foaming sanitizer? I go, no, it's just regular, like a pump bottle. He's like, oh no, we can't take that. The kids steal it and drink it. I was like, they steal it and drink it? He's like, yeah, these kids are in here for like drug and alcohol abuse. I'm like, okay, well, sorry, we don't have foaming. So I'm thinking, well, what kind of kids are in this place?
Right.
Well, they got this during COVID. They had up in their common area where everybody would just hang out, sit on the couch. They had isolation tents that would hold one person. It was like a big clear plastic bubble and it was big enough to fit a chair, just a chair. and they would punish people or have them quarantined, but they'd make them sit inside that bubble all day. And I'm thinking, they're doing like a lot more harm here than good.
Yeah, holy cow.
I'm like, I can't believe like they could do this to these kids and shove them in a bubble and just leave them there. Like, seems a little cruel. I'm like, I wouldn't want to be here. So one day, I'm picking all the rugs up. I get out to my truck. There's this kid running, trying to make a break for it. Goes in my truck, starts my truck, and I'm like, oh, shit, he's stealing my truck.
Wow.
I throw the rugs down, and I run. I'm like, dude, get out of my truck. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I get the keys, and he takes off. I'm like, you got to, this kid was just trying to escape prison, practically. So I call my boss. I said, man, some kid strung out or something just tried stealing my truck. He goes, where are you at? I tell him where I'm at, and he goes, you know you're supposed to pull your keys at that stop, right? I said, no, I didn't know that.
I do now.
I said, now I know. He's like, yeah. He's like, you can't leave your keys in your truck there. You got to pull them every week. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, dude, some guy trying to hijack the linen truck and boogie out.
That is crazy. Oh, yeah. My word.
I mean, I can't really say I blame him based on all the stuff I've seen there.
Exactly. That's the shame of it, is that is what they've, you know, they've encountered.
Yeah.
So.
Crazy. If he would have got away in my truck, I would have been in big trouble.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yep. And it's not, I don't think it was, you know, the idea he's going to steal the stuff and sell it. He just wanted to get out of there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, did he try and take any of the hand sanitizer?
I thought you were going to say he was going to drink
it. That's what I'm, and my head's not going, oh, he's going to steal the truck. My head's going, oh, he's in there getting hand sanitizer, getting drunk on hand sanitizer.
Yeah. But it was like, after that guy told me that, I'm thinking like, all right, now I kind of know the kind of people that are here. Like, that was kind of what that was about. And I'm like, so these kids are a little troubled. And it never even crossed my mind that I should pull my keys, but lesson learned.
Right. Hey, I'm going to put us on hold for one sec. What?
Don't stop the recording. Just tell him. Hold on.
Hold on a second. Jack just came in.
Hold on. We have technical difficulties.
And I don't want to miss any of these stories. So
not a problem.
We should get back to our regular scheduled programming after the sidebar. But where'd we leave off at? The rehab truck jacking.
Some of the other miscellaneous.
Yeah.
Well, the last couple on that list are just real small, weird things. Like I did, I have this psychiatric facility now, and they had an AWOL warning. Some inmate went missing on the compound, and nobody told me. They just all started panicking and looking for this guy and locked the doors, but they'll still let me in to deliver the linen, and like didn't even care to tell me. Like,
wow.
Well, that's nice. I was hoping the guy wasn't in my truck.
Right.
Yeah, like it's just weird stuff you see all the time. I do an OBGYN. The one woman handed me, I was going around picking up all their dirty stuff,
mm-hmm.
and she hands me a handful of sheets. And I'm like, this is much heavier than what sheets weigh. And I open it up, and there's a used speculum in it.
Wow.
Bang. I said, do you need this back?
Well, you don't see that every day.
No, you don't.
Then another stop, I found some kid's drugs. They fell out of he threw his pants in the soil locker, and his drugs fell out. And they fell on the floor. And now this company, I'm not going to say their name, but they're a multi-billion-dollar multinational corporation. And they're very expensive stuff.
Wow.
I take this weed into the HR director. I go, this was in one of your guys' pants. I said, I wasn't going to leave it on the floor, so I'm giving it to you. And she's like, whose was it? I said, well, I don't know. I said, it fell out of a pocket. I said, if it was still in the pocket, I would know because the pants are barcoded. I said, mm-hmm. but I just let you know. And she's like, that means they're doing drugs here while they're here because it was a weed vape.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, probably. You're probably right. She said, I need you to look into this for me and see if you could snoop around and see if anybody's looking for it. I'm not getting involved. I gave it to you. You guys deal with it.
Exactly. You know, I did my part. Yeah. Wow.
But, dude, it's every day. You know, it's like you said on the last episode with me, like, it's a very exciting. It's exciting.
Yes,
you
know, it is. Never dull.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yes. That is the truth. Holy cow. Yeah, and then on top of it, she wants you to do her job. How about if you just start drug testing all of your employees and see which one comes up with a positive, you know?
Right.
It's not hard.
It's, no. Like, she wanted me to, like, become buddy-buddy with all the guys and, like, figure out who's smoking the weed vape on the, at the plant. I'm like, I'm good. Sorry, it's on you.
Freaking A. Private investigator, Kirk.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I guess we'll switch over to finish it off with the paranormal stuff.
That sounds awesome, dude.
Yeah. No, these are, I don't know, man. Like, I got a real wild testimony and all the paranormal experience. Mm-hmm. I'm still in the queue on the confessional. So when that day comes, you could hear all that.
But okay.
Since our last episode, I was telling you guys about the disappearing car on Route 45, mm-hmm. the Harry John Forrest. The UFO
yep.
saw in Danville. Well, that area on 45 where the Harry John is, it got very, very, very active after I told you guys what happened and what I saw.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I decided to charge my GoPros. And I'm a very firm believer. If you go looking for this stuff, Satan's going to give it to you.
Right. You'll find it. Yes.
He'll show you. If you want it, you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a couple weeks, you know, I'm just real, real involved in this. I'm like, I wasn't listening to the gospel. I was binging confessionals episodes about these certain topics and like, I was all in on it. So I don't know if that helped in seeing what I saw, but the disappearing car, Tony said, he said, it sounds like it was a portal. Said, yeah, it could be. Well, the following week after that episode aired, I got new. Now, normally when I drive through there in the mornings, it's dark. Well, this particular day, I got a late start. And by the time I got there, it was daylight. Not full blown daylight, but it was bright enough you could see everything. So the whole stretch of 45 through the Big John, Harry John, there's not one car behind me. Hmm. Nothing. For at least a mile. I come into the entrance, and up on the right side of the mountain, I see a flash, like a camera flash,
mm-hmm.
and what looks like a door open, but it was immediate, like, and the best way I could describe this door is, if you could imagine, I don't know, maybe what the door to the throne room would look like, it'd be like 100 feet tall, and like, it cracks open and all you see is this white light come out. Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like.
Cool.
Immediately, like it just, and then right after that happened, there were 7 dump trucks that were identical directly behind me. Out of nowhere.
Wow.
Now, how that happened, I don't know, because you could see for as far as your eye can see behind you and there was nobody on the road. Mm-hmm. And there's no side roads or driveways where anybody can pull out and, you know, get on the road. But after I saw that flash and what looked like that door open real quick, there were 7 identical dump trucks behind me. Counted them, 7 of them, exactly the same.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very, very strange.
That is so really strange.
So I said, I'm getting my GoPros and I'm going to start recording through here and see what I could get. So I caught some kind of lights. I don't know what they were, but there was no road there, but they were driving along parallel with me in the woods, but they were pacing me.
Wow.
To my right through mm-hmm. the woods. I got that on tape. Then,
was a Swift truck.
There was a, what's that?
Yeah. That was a Swift driver.
Right?
So, Oh, Shep.
Sorry. I had to just say it.
No, you're good. You're good.
That's funny.
So originally when I told you that I saw that disappearing car there, I mm-hmm. looked up if there were any Bigfoot sightings or cryptid sightings in that area. And that Pennsylvania Bigfoot research, whatever they are, I forget their name, but I found a live map overlay of all the Bigfoot sightings in Pennsylvania. And sure enough, there was a Sasquatch sighting right in that area where I saw the car disappear.
Hmm.
And it lists the report of what the guy saw or whatever. Well, I'm driving back the one day. This is at the end of the day. Now, I know people have said, like, they get, what do they call it, like mind speak or something. They get, like, an uneasy feeling or, like, queasy or nauseous.
Right.
Or, like, they start feeling a certain way when they see these Bigfoots. I was coming back now. I was going the opposite way through the back entrance, but it was still the same area where I'd seen everything else. I was just coming from the different direction. Well, I started, like, dozing off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was going to pass out, like, fall asleep. And I'm, like, I'm fighting to keep my eyes open, and I feel, like, nauseous. And I'm, like, man, what's going on? Well, my eyes are starting to close, and I'm, like, snapping myself out of it. Like, don't know what's happening. Well, I look up. Here's this, like, 8 or 9 foot tall black thing that's running across the road. Like, but it's, like, it's not running like a normal person. It was, like, mm-hmm. gliding. And it was so fast, it went right through the brush up into the woods. Now, the best way I could describe how this thing moved, the movie Predator, when Carl Weathers gets his arm blown off and the Predator's running towards him,
mm-hmm.
that Predator's running with a certain glide and moving, like, real, real smooth. Like, that's sure. exactly how this thing moved. And it was... After it ran through the woods, I snapped out of it. I said, did I really just see that? And I'm, like, shaking my head and, like, real nervous. And I'm like, that was insane. But it was, after it was gone, I went back to feeling normal again. It was unbelievable.
Wow. That is,
yeah,
that is cool. That is just really cool. I mean, those are things that you see and you do. You ask yourself, did I really just see that? And you know in your head you did. You know you're yeah. not crazy. But how do you explain it? Mm-hmm. You know, that is really wild, dude. That is really wild.
Yeah, and the thing, like, like I said, I was, like, almost, like, half in and out of consciousness to the mm. point where, like, I couldn't really make out any features if I wanted to. I just know that there was a giant black creature of some sort
mm-hmm.
ripping through the woods, or right across the road into the woods. Like, I think it was probably 2 steps across the road for this wow. thing. Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
That is really incredible. Holy yep. cow. What do you think about that, Shep?
Yeah.
Nothing to say about that.
It's wild. That is really wild. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's that whole area, man. There's been so much weird stuff. And, like, mm-hmm. I was starting to, like, get, like, real uncomfortable and, like, thinking I'm hearing stuff and seeing stuff at home again. And I'm like, man, I gotta stop. I said, I gotta focus back on the gospel and keep that the number one focus, because I can't handle all this stuff. It's skeeving me out.
Right.
Yeah. That's the main reason why they say never bring your work home with you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. It was pretty. And since then, you know, I've just been binging King James and, you know, keeping my faith where it needs to be, and everything's been fine.
Right.
But for that couple of weeks there, it was intense. And there's another event here that happened. Whew. So I was listening to one of the confessionals episode of this guy talk about an abduction.
Mm-hmm.
He was abducted a couple times as a kid or a teenager. But I remember he was explaining the same thing I felt that day I saw the Bigfoot. He would know when these things were coming because he would get nauseous. He'd get queasy and super, super tired and he would just fall asleep. And then he'd have lost time and all this stuff, whatever he was saying. Well, I'm listening to this episode, and he's talking about, he's standing in his kitchen making a sandwich, and he I specifically remember, because he was so anxious to eat this sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it hit him. He gets real tired and fatigued. And he had, I think the kid had some kind of implant or something from, I don't know, some kind of device that was implanted in him. But it sparked a memory of mine, because I had all this stuff happen throughout my life. And I always, and I can't explain how or why or what it is, but on my left forearm, oh man, there's like a bump that'll get aggravated every now and then, that'll look like a swollen bug bite, but it's hard and it'll itch real bad. Hmm. And I don't know what causes it or where it is, but it goes away. But it started flaring up the day I'm listening to that episode. And I'm like, I'm itching. I'm like, what is this stupid thing? Well, all of a sudden, now I'm on I-80 driving down towards my next stop.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, I blacked out driving. Passed right out.
Wow.
I woke up at my next stop putting my liftgate down.
Holy cow. So you blacked out, and yet you continue to do your job. That you talk about knowing what your job is, huh? Holy cow.
I don't have any
explanation for it. I just remember I was feeling, and I told my girlfriend what happened, and she's like, that's like insane.
That is.
And I was explaining, like, you know, there's a lot more backstory involved with stuff that I've experienced in my life, but whatever that kid was, you know, that episode, I don't know if it triggered something or what, but that thing flared up on my arm, and I just remember getting real tired and out.
Wow.
Right on the highway, and I woke up putting my liftgate down at my last stop.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. That is just wow. I can't imagine blacking out and continuing to function. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Even though you're cognitively, yeah, that's the word, you're not there, and yet at the same time you're doing your job. Yeah. That is just crazy. That is just amazing to me. No, that's amazing to me. Holy cow. Thank God you were safe. Thank God that nothing happened, you know, in that interim time, you know, while you're in that state where you're kind of blacked out, but you're still, you know, you're driving, you're doing your job, and you come to at your last stop, getting things ready and putting the lift gate down. Wow. Wow.
Yep. And I don't think it wasn't like a major stretch of time that it had passed, because it was about the same time I would be at the stop anyway. So it's just that period of time from when I blacked out to when I got there. I don't know how or what happened.
Wow. Wow. Thank God you were safe. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yep.
Oof.
Scary, man. Real scary.
It is very.
And, you know, like I said, that was during that time where I was ignoring the gospel and putting my nose into stuff where it don't belong, you know. And
sure.
You want to see it, you're going to see it.
That is the truth. That is why sometimes when, you know, you watch some of these videos or you watch some of these TV shows or whatever, and you think to I think to myself sometimes, you know, be careful what you wish for, you know.
Yeah.
You just might get it. You know, it's like, you know, how do you walk through that? I don't know. But that's my philosophy on those things. It's like, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And then what? You know?
Yep. Yeah, it's wild, man.
It is.
That's what everybody's always telling Tony. You're going to find Dog Man? I'm like, what, are you nuts?
I thought he was nuts.
And I'm thinking like, man, I would never do that, but you could go ahead, because I want to see the footage.
Right, exactly.
It's like a car crash. You don't want to be in it, but you slow down to look at it.
Yep.
That is true. Yep. Yes, very true.
Well, I guess we'll finish it off here with the last one, the new truck with a side of poltergeist.
Okay.
This was maybe a month or two ago. It was since the the last episode, so within a month. We got all our new step fans in. Now, we run 4-day work weeks, and I work my off day. My off day is Wednesday, and I run a retail route to State College, so I'm in a step van. Well, we got all of our new step vans. They're all brand new. Now, they're super nice, but it's almost like they're junk because they, you know, they had worker shortages or part shortages or whatever, but every one of them has been in the garage since we've gotten them. And the door, the sliding door, like the UPS sliding doors, it's super hard to open. There's no storage at the top. We're leaking coolant. All these problems, right? So I'm driving. Well, no, this was in the morning. The morning I was trying to connect my phone because it was my first time in this truck. I was trying to connect my phone to the head unit so I could Bluetooth all my stuff. And I'm playing around with it, and I got my flashlight on because the light in the cab couldn't shine where I needed to see. Mm-hmm. And I'm pressing the phone button. I'm pressing this, just trying to get myself familiar with this interface. So I get it connected. I go about on my route. I'm listening to another confessionals episode because this was all that same time period. The truck's off. I'm in the back gathering the stuff I need for the stop. Mm-hmm. Now, normally I wear earbuds. So when my truck shuts off, whatever I'm listening to transfers over to my earbuds immediately.
Okay.
So I'm listening to whatever episode I'm listening to, and the truck's off. All of a sudden, my earbuds kick out, and a different episode starts playing of the confessionals on the radio in the truck with the truck off.
Wow.
I'm like, I was like, that's weird. I'm like, probably this stupid truck that was built crappy has like a short or something. He was in the off position, and it changed the track that was on my phone
right,
to a different track. So I'm like, man, that's weird. I go up and I'm looking at the head unit. Well, the phone button that was on the head unit, which I swore was black in the morning, was now a bright cobalt blue. And I'm thinking, there's no way. I'm just thinking I'm nuts, or it was early in the morning and I couldn't tell it was blue, but I swore it changed colors and now that button was blue, and it's been blue every day since then.
Wow.
So I leave. I'm going down a mountain, okay? So gravity, my sliding door, okay, is going with gravity. It would, if it was closing, it would close going downhill, right? Well, I'm going downhill. It slammed open backwards, going downhill.
Wow.
Right as I'm driving. Just, like, it's not like I was going uphill.
Right.
Where it wasn't latched and just slid back.
Right, where gravity would take over. Yeah. What the heck? Right.
Yeah. And it was just that one day. I'm like, this truck's possessed.
Sure sounds like it to me. Yeah, holy cow.
Nothing's happened. It was just that day. Just that day, there was a couple weird things that happened in the truck, and I'm just can't explain it.
Wow.
And like I said, that door, it's like you need to put some good effort into opening it, because I don't know if they mounted the latch wrong or something, but it sticks so bad.
Huh.
And you have to put some elbow grease into yanking it open to slide it open. But it opened itself going downhill.
Wow. That is crazy. Oh, my word. I don't know. You know, what do you say? Yeah. What do you say to that? I mean, apparently it's a new truck with a poltergeist. It's like, that wasn't one of the options I wanted from the factory, you know?
It's quietly saying, get out.
Holy cow. Oh, that's crazy.
Looking back at it now, like that whole week or 2 week, 3 week period, whatever it was, you know, it was either God's way of telling me you got your focus wrong or something, but you got to get your focus right. And I have, and, you know, everything stopped again. So it's like...
That's good.
It's just weird stuff, man.
Yes.
I know people are questionable about paranormal stuff and whatever, but this stuff happens.
It does. And how do you explain it? You know?
You can't. Yeah.
You can't. You know, that's why it's paranormal. Because it's not normal. You know? So that's really interesting. I really appreciate you sharing those stories with us, Kirk. I really do. I think that was interesting.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me back.
Yeah. Oh, it was a blast. It really was a blast. And I thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for your patience, you know, walking through some of the technical difficulties that we've had. And
yeah,
you
no
know,
problem.
But it was really great talking to you again. I really enjoyed this. And you know, we're just gonna wrap things up here. But man, that was an interesting show. And the paranormal stuff, I'm always fascinated by that stuff. But you know, in just saying the things you're saying, just take a look at Philippians chapter 4 and tell me what you think at some point. You know, just you know, text the show or whatever, email the show. But it talks exactly about what you're saying about staying focused. You know.
Yeah.
And
well, isn't that I think Philippians 4 is about grinding at the stone. Is that Philippians 4?
No,
I don't remember. I think what part you're talking about. I can't remember the chapter and verse. But yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah, Philippians 4. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise.
Right. Yep. Amen.
You know, sometimes it's easy to forget that that's what we have to do. That's what we should do, you know, to walk this life. But, you know, I really do appreciate you coming on and sharing with us and talking with us about all of these things. It's great. I mean, your stories are hilarious. It's fun. I mean, just some of the things you walk through and you start picturing it in your mind when you're telling a story. And it's like, that is just crazy. That's, you know, I'm just, my brain is still picturing a bin going through the windshield of a Mercedes, you know, I mean, that's just where my brain goes. Right. And I'm like, that is just nuts, you know? So we really appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming on, Kirk, and sharing the time with us.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And if you guys enjoyed the show, Shipper, tell them what they can do.
Share the show. Share it with everybody.
Shove the show.
But, yeah, share it with everybody. That's the only way we're going to get more people on here, get them listening, get them possibly on the show to be interviewed. So
exactly.
Do what you need to do, peeps.
Yep. Share the show. So. And with that being said, keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane. We're gone. We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, we'll go back. We're back.
We're back.
Okay.
So all right, Jack said hold on. So anyway, while we're waiting for Jack to come back and take care of the, you know, this is why we have a producer, Jack, because.
Producer Jack.
Yeah, I'm not the, you know.
Should problems occur, arise during the broadcast.
It's crazy because we've set up a studio in my house and it's like, yeah, we're still getting things coming in and, you know, orders that are still coming
supply
in.
Chain issues.
Supply chain issues, you know, so we're doing everything we can to make everything work. And until, you know, it's like one thing at a time.
State of the world.
It is the state of the world. Unfortunately, it's where we are and everything seems to be, you know, behind schedule on everything. So we're waiting on a new computer. Jack just informed us today that the new computer will be in June. So, you know, it's like I remember the days when you could just, you know, go to the Apple store or whatever, Best Buy or whatever, and you have a computer today. You know, you went in tonight and you had it today. Now it's like, well, whenever, you know, it's crazy. So
you're lucky you could get one at all with the shortage on computer chips.
That is the truth. It is just, it's so crazy. Yeah. So I apologize for putting us on hold or whatever, you know, but Jack's taking care of it as we speak. So thankfully, and thank you for being, I'm just saying thanks for being patient. I appreciate it. So
I got nothing else to do.
I got nowhere else to go.
Yeah. I got the baby in her crib on her iPad, so she'll be content until I get her.
There you go. That's awesome. This is what amazes me about the, you know, all of this supply chain shortage stuff and everything else. It just drives you crazy. You're like, is this really the world we're living in? And unfortunately, it is. And
Well, it's crazy because I'm in my truck I'm using at work, the lease ran out on the company truck, on the straight truck I drive, and this was last April, it was a year ago. The lease ran out, and they got me a Penske rental truck. I'm still in the Penske rental truck to this day because we can't get the new straight truck built.
Yeah.
It's insane. We got all our new step vans, like all the step vans, I think it took them 10 months to get like five or six of them built. But I'm like, man, like I'm going to be in this Penske rental truck forever.
Wow.
They just can't get parts.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. Or they're short workers or something. I don't know.
You know, we don't either because they're experiencing the same things at Pitt. They were going to order, 150 new trucks? Something like that this year.
150 new tractors, and Max said they could probably promise us 60.
30.
Over 30?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They'll guarantee us 30. So, it's crazy. It seems to be where we are. And this supply chain issue stuff is just ridiculous. You know, at some point, why don't we just build a chip, you know, factory here and do them ourselves? You know, if that's the case, if that's what we're missing, let's do something about it here, America. You know, that's.
Well, we know their agenda and all of this is intentional.
Yes, it is. I agree with that. It's like, and this is kind of an aside, you know, we'll get back to the stories, but this is just one of those little asides. It's like, I was reading an article this past week. There have been like 12 or 15 food manufacturing plants that have literally burnt down or been hit by airplanes.
Yeah.
Now, what is the likelihood of that? I mean, you know, when you read the article, you're like, well, you know, there's really no, you know, no nefarious things going on behind the scenes. This isn't a plan or anything else. And it's like, you're asking me to ignore what I know reality is. When in the world have you ever seen this many food manufacturing plants either burn to the ground or get hit by airplanes that they are put out of commission? And it's like, I know it sounds conspiratorial. I know it sounds like, you know, I'm looking at this through conspiracy theory eyes. I put on my conspiracy theory goggles. But it's like, really? You want me to believe that this is just happenstance? You want me to actually believe this?
Right.
You know, this is
the same thing with the hydroxychloroquine.
Exactly.
COVID was out. They burned that to the ground.
Exactly. And you can tell me that this is just happenstance. This is just coincidence. Nope.
Right.
I'm just, you know. That's the conspiracy guy in me. That is just, you know what? It's not even the conspiracy guy in me. That's just the thinker. I'm sorry. I'm not going forward
thinking allowed.
Exactly. That's the world we're living in today, you know?
Well, and not only that, Brian, but are you seeing how many chickens they're killing globally?
Yes.
Because of the bird flu?
Millions upon millions. Yes.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Now, you tell me that all of this stuff lined up together isn't part of their overall scheme of global depopulation. There was one yesterday. Iowa egg laying farm kills 5 million chickens and fires 200 plus workers.
Wow.
That's a lot of chicken nuggets.
That is a lot of nuggets. Yeah. Wow. And that's just one.
I've been conspiracy theorist most of my life. And mm-hmm. just like Tony, I foresaw these food shortages and all this stuff years ago. And I've been preparing and I've been stocking up because it's here.
It is.
You know, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And on top of that, we're in, this is like, I think they said the coldest spring we've had in like over 100 years or something. And I'm like, well, yeah, they're spraying the freaking air with chemtrails and geoengineering the weather.
Right.
So they're going to kill all the crops. All you need is a frost. Everything's starting to grow now. And all week it's been in the 30s.
Yes. It's crazy. I know. I'm just saying this to Michelle the other night. You know, you look at the weather and you're like, it's going to be 35 tonight. This is almost May.
Yeah.
When have we ever, when have we seen that in the past, you know, 20 years or 30 years? It's crazy. You know, I don't know. You know, like I said, paint me conspiracy theorist. I don't really care anymore. It's like, this is just reality. This is the reality we're living. And either we wake up and we see it for what it is, or we're all going to go down, you know, starving to death because we can't even raise crops, you know?
Well, everybody I listen to has been saying, like, come October. Mm-hmm. I mean, even it's on mainstream media, there's going to be major food shortages. It's everywhere. Yes. It's out there now. But come October, it's going to really sink in as reality to people. And there's going to be food riots.
Yes.
It's coming.
In America.
You know, I tell everyone, in America, it's going to be pandemonium because mm-hmm. people are so used to going to the grocery store and just getting what you need.
And like, it's there,
It's not going to be like that anymore. And, you know, not only is, you know, I tell everybody, like, you should be prepared and have enough food for your family for 1 to 3 years or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, you set. But that's also not one of your biggest concerns because you have to be able to protect that food.
Like, yes.
All this stuff is going to blow up into chaos. You don't think there's going to be roaming gangs going door to door to steal people's food?
You got that right.
You don't think there'd be a power failure? Power failure? Anyway?
Exactly.
Yeah.
With all these electric cars?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like it's no longer just supply chain issues. This is demand destruction is what it is.
Yep. We can be conspiracy, mm-hmm. really, but it's not conspiracy theory anymore. It's conspiracy fact.
Yes.
You know?
100%.
It is what it is. And they're open about it.
Yep.
I mean, look what the WEF and all these Klaus Schwab, these idiots.
Yeah.
They're open about the Great Reset and all of this stuff. They don't care anymore because it's done.
It is. It is. And the funny thing is when you hear some of the things that these people say, and you watch some of the things, some of the videos that come out, and you're just like, really, this is what you're talking about? You know, it's like everybody's like, oh, you know, the conspiracy theory, one world government stuff. It's like these people actually had a summit. It's called the One World Government Summit. And they actually talked, the very first session of that was, are we prepared for the one world government? And these are world leaders. These are world leaders who get together and they have this summit and the world ignores it. Mainstream media ignores it.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Ship?
Oh, no. Well, it's just Joe was there. He just wanted the pudding and the ice cream. That's all he was there for.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, when our own president stands on a stage and tells people that there is going to be shortages.
Right.
How much have you heard that on the news?
Well, it's like he was saying, you know, come October, we shouldn't have a problem because in Pennsylvania, that's around hunting season there. So we'll be able to stock.
Exactly. We'll get some meat anyway.
That's it.
But it's just.
I tried telling my mom and dad are aware of what's going on and they mm-hmm. see it all. And I was just up there yesterday picking my daughter up and I'm telling them, I said, look, we're going to starve sooner or later. I said, yeah. You guys need to like start preparing. And my dad's like, oh, no, we'll just hunt. We'll get food. I said, Dad, yeah, you're in a rural area, but mm-hmm. you're surrounded by Wilkes-Barre and Hazleton. Right. I said, where do you think all those people in the cities are going to flock to? You. Yep. You're going to come into rural towns. All these immigrants that are here illegally in Hazleton are going to come door to door, killing people, pillaging their houses,
That's
taking
right.
their food. I said, you need to have something. I said, not only that, but how many other people do you think are going to say, well, yeah, we'll just hunt? There right. isn't an endless supply of food out there in the woods.
Right. That's true. That's really true. That is, it's just,
insane.
It is insane. We're at this crazy point in life. It really is. Like Joe Biden said it a couple of weeks ago, we're at an inflection point. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding, Joe. Thanks for the, you know, yep. for enlightening us to that. You're the one who's been helping bring this thing on in the past. Now, this is just an aside. This is just my own view. You know what I'm saying? This is
the
just
views
me.
Expressed on this show do not
necessarily reflect the opinions of everybody else, but. You know, it's like we shut down our own gas production. We shut down our own fuel production. And then we complain because we don't, because fuel prices are what they are, and nobody looks at it for what the real cause is that we're doing it to ourselves. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
We've got China buying up millions and millions and millions of acres. We've got Bill Gates buying up millions and millions
the
other million acres of farmland in this country. What do you think's going to happen with all this? What do you think we're doing?
Yeah.
We're setting ourselves up for failure. That's what we're doing. It is demand destruction. It just is. You know,
Yep.
I don't know what else to say. Anyway.
Well, I got one word. I got one word for it, Brian.
Go for it.
Rapture.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I mean, the reality is we're in a fallen world, and we're not going to change society. We're not going to change any of it. What we're supposed to do is pull people out of it, because the end is inevitable.
Yes. The end is coming.
It's coming no matter what. You ain't going to stop it. We're not going to stop it. We need to save as many people from going through it as possible.
I heard that. Amen.
That's why, man, I've just been nosing the Bible 100%.
Yep. Amen.
Pray that we're worthy to escape the things to come.
Amen. Right? You got that right. I am with you 100%, my friend. Yep. Well, we should get back to our regularly scheduled programming after the sidebar.